Good morning. Figure in the absence of Sensei Carl, I might say a few things that come up for me. So in the readings, we've changed our book. So we've changed it from the book about teachings, stories of women in the history of Zen, to this new book by Zenkei Blanche Hartman, and called Seeds of a Boundless Life. So I don't know if you have a copy of the book. Bill has been sending out excerpts for us to read before practice circle, but I would encourage you to obtain a copy of the book if you don't have one. Since Zenkei Hartman was a student of Suzuki Roshi, and the style of the book, to me anyway, is written in a way very similar to Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. There are very short excerpts, maybe page and a half, at most 2 pages, where she talks about the practice and different aspects of the practice. And she keeps it in a very, very, I think, in a simple way. But yet, through that simple way, she expounds upon some profound ideas within the practice. And she repeats a couple of things that I've taken sort of some time to try to memorize. So I don't know if I have these exactly, call them exactly right, but she talks about something called the 6 perfections. And she mentions them repeatedly throughout the book. So I think they're important. And what they are, if I remember them correctly, is the first is generosity. The second is morality. Third is patience. The fourth is energy. The fifth is zazen, meditation. And the sixth is wisdom. So she talks about those as within the context of the practice. And she also talks about the 4, I'm going to call them the blessings. So those are loving kindness, empathetic joy, compassion, and equanimity. And so one of the things that I've brought into my practice recently is trying to do loving kindness meditation in the morning. And it's sort of very simple. For me, it's just saying, starting out with yourself and saying, may I be happy and may I be free from suffering. And then you just continue moving outwards from there. Sometimes I just try to bring an image in my mind to be happy and to be free from suffering. Oftentimes I start with immediate family or my wife and my children, grandchildren, mother, you move out, friends, sangha, people who I dislike, not mildly dislike, some people who I dislike more actively and move on out there until kind of expanding that net. Towards the end of the book is divided into 3 parts. And the last part of the book is excerpts. She was from one of the Buddhist magazines that are pretty popular. She was one of 3 teachers who would respond to questions. So people who read the magazine would send in questions, and she would respond to those questions. So the 3rd part of the book is the excerpt of various questions and her responses over a period of time that this magazine was published and she was involved in it. And they're very good, very to date and interesting. And I think her responses to them very insightful. So I would definitely encourage it. It's a thin book. You can put it on the bookshelf right next to Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and pull it out from time to time. I just like to read 1 excerpt a day, and that's enough, and just hang out with that. Just a couple more things, because I like to keep these kind of short. But what brought her to the practice, in the book, she tells you a little bit. She drops little hints or little things in the book about who she is. She was married to a man named Lu, who was a very dedicated practitioner, and they were married for 65 years. And she talks a little bit about her interactions with Suzuki Roshi. But what she says is that even before any of this, even before she got involved with the Zen, when she was a housewife, or maybe even before she was married, it was taking place during the 60s, and she was at part of a protest against the Vietnam War. And she was on campus during this protest, and there was a confrontation. And so she confronted a National Guardsman. And she says that she looked at the National Guardsman, and he was wearing one of those helmets and visors. And even though she couldn't see her eyes, in that moment, she realized that she and the National Guardsman were the same. that was a profound insight for her. It was a very, very profound and moving insight for her. And so that led her to try to understand what that was. And that trying to understand what that was led her into the practice of meditation and all the rest of the things that followed in her life. The only thing that I wanted to add is this. You know, the practice is hard. And oftentimes we move through the practice and we don't know, is this practice benefiting us? Is it not benefiting us? Is it worth the time that we're spending on it? And so forth. And I'm just saying that to realize that we all go through that sense of whether or not we should stick with this or not stick with this. My feeling is it's a practice that's over 2,500 years old. It's benefited many, many people over a long period of time who've come to the practice from many, many different backgrounds and faiths and for reasons. And so when we feel that we're going to waver in this practice, and that's a perfectly natural thing, I think it's good to try to remember that. It's important. Nobody can do this for you. You have to stick with it on your own and see where it leads. But I think it's a pretty well-established path. It may not be the only path, but it could be the path for you. Just like I guess it was the path for her, because it was something that she experienced and gave her a way to understand what that experience was and changed her life. So anyway,